Hello, everybody. This is Ladybug. I am one of the artists in the national selection for MGP in Norway. And I hope you will enjoy this episode. This is Building Bridges podcast.
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. Today we present you Ladybug, who is competing at Melody Grand Prix 2025 with Hard as Hell in Paradise. And Dave has had the pleasure to talk to her. So we were building a bridge from Canada to Norway. So, two very cold countries. But Dave, how did you like?
I'd like to point out that it's warmer in Norway than it is here. it's really, really cold. It's awful. I guess we can call this a bonus episode, almost, because this all happened very quickly. We thought our Nordic week was over, but we're back with a fourth episode. We just heard from Kyle on Friday, and now here it is. We're just after another Super Saturday. And we're back in Norway again to talk to Ladybug, who is in her first MGP. She was saying even people in Norway don't know who she is. And it's funny, she part-time bartends at the Oslo Spectrum, where the final is going to take place in a week. So wow. it's a very like full circle moment for her. After the rest of us, you know, have just gotten through another Super Saturday. And Sebi, I have a question for you. Why does Vidbeer last longer than Eurovision?
I think they're enjoying themselves, you know. I would too. Yeah. I would, in Ukraine's situation, I would take any pleasure that I can.
I guess if we spoke Ukrainian, it might be more enjoyable, but it's just makes for a long day, especially when you have multiple shows at night and we're tired after another Super Saturday. But we don't have much time because we're a few days away from another Super Saturday. Norway is going to pick, and maybe they'll pick Ladybug. Should we listen to a short clip of her song?
Let's do it. So, without further ado, let's hear what Ladybug has to say.
Obviously, this is your first time in the Norwegian final, so you might not be too known to people, especially outside of Norway, all the Euro fans from across Europe and the world. So do you want to start off first by just kind of like introducing yourself and your musical background and how you got into becoming an artist?
Yeah, like you said, like I am not known in Europe for sure, and I'm not known in Norway either, to be honest. I'm really not. I think I might be like the least known person going into MGP this year. But that's interesting. And it's just such a big honor to get to be in with all the other people that are in the artists. So, but yeah, me as an artist, I got started pretty late in my life, to be honest, with music. I think I've always loved music, but I really didn't grow up in like a musical environment. And like when I was in school, it was just football. That was kind of like the offer here. If you want to do something outside of school, then football is your option. So I started with music, I think mostly through dancing. That is kind of like how I got into music in the beginning, through dance. And when I was like in my early 20s, after doing a lot of different studies and moving a lot around in Norway and never really settling down, I guess you could say I was a very restless soul who didn't know what I wanted to do with my life and what I wanted to become when I became an adult. I started studying real estate. Because my dad used to work as a real estater before. And I guess like not a lot of people would guess when they see me, like with my nose piercing and blue hair and tattoos and stuff. But yeah, me and my dad were very similar as people. So I just started studying it because I figured, okay, if he liked it, I guess I will like it as well. I didn't. Wasn't for me. But I did stay to the study for 3 whole years. And the only reason for that is because where I was studying in Norway is such a hillbilly country place, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So I stuck around for 3 years in that little village in Norway. And I started to get slowly more and more into the music environment that was there. And also actually my teacher in real estate, he was a drummer. So I started a band together with him. And when I was done with my 3 years and like done with a bachelor degree, I was supposed to start working as a real estater at this real estate office. And like I did a long interview process to like even get the offer. But then I was like, okay, if I say yes to this job now, I am never gonna pursue my dream of becoming an artist, which is what I feel to my bones that is what I want to do with my life. So I went into the office and I basically told the boss there that thank you so much for your job offer, but I have to say no because I'm gonna go for my dream as an artist. Although I have no idea how to write a song, I don't know any theory, and I am terrified of being on a stage, but that's what I'm gonna do.
I can only imagine the shock on his face when you said that.
He was like, no, actually, he was like, you know what, Iris? I think you should. Yeah. Okay. He was really supportive. I think he, as a person, he really loves it when people dare to pursue what they want to do. And like when they just have guts, I think. So that was a shock to me that he was so kind about it.
Can we do a little lightning round? I'm going to ask you some silly, fun questions with quick answers, and I'll let you decide if you want to elaborate or not on the answers.
Yeah.
So what's the most unusual place you've ever practiced singing?
I used to work on a cruise ship, so like under the engine room of a cruise ship in the middle of the sea. Is that your answer?
I think so. No, we just spoke to someone from Finland who said she practices in her sauna. So that we thought was quite unusual as well. Most people sing in the shower. I guess for Finland, you say.
Yeah.
If you could only sing one song for the rest of your life, what song would you sing?
Ooh, Bobby McGee by Janis Joplin.
Okay. That's a good one. What's the weirdest thing that you've had happen to you during a performance?
Oh, actually, there was once I was singing with a band and people were dancing and having a lot of fun. And yeah, people were pretty tipsy. And this guy just, I don't know how he did it even, because there was a fence around the stage, but he managed to like grab me and he just picked me up and carried me out on the dance floor. So that was pretty strange.
Okay, pretty frightening.
Luckily, I had a wireless microphone.
Okay. And have you figured out any like secret warm-up techniques, anything that helps you get ready for stage?
It's not a technique, I would say, but I tend to always brush my teeth before going on stage. It's just something about cleansing out the bad
and
getting refreshed.
Yeah, part of your routine. Yeah, it makes sense. Every artist has something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of tipsy, if you were a bit tipsy and you were in a karaoke bar, what would be like your go-to, just got to belt it out anthem that you would want to sing?
Don't Stop Believin', Journey.
I think that's been sung more than once with a few beer in a bar. Yeah.
There it goes.
All right.
For sure.
Excellent. All right. So, yeah, so your career is kicking off now. And obviously, your real name is Iris, but you've chosen Ladybug as your stage name. Where did that come from?
So there's one main reason, and then there's like a small reason. I'll take the small one first.
Okay.
So my mom called me one day and she was like, hey, I had a dream. And I was like, oh no, we're going to talk about our dreams now. Okay, here we go. And then she was like, yeah, but I had a dream that you were on stage and your name was Ladybug. So that's like the small reason, but the bigger reason, when she said this, I just instantly remembered that when I was a kid, I used to have this older couple. Their names were Hans and Annie. Annie is still alive to this day, but Hans passed away a few years ago. And they used to babysit me a lot when I was a kid. And they always gave me Ladybug things for Christmas and for my birthdays and for those kind of occasions. So when my mom called me and said the Ladybug thing, I was like, that feels so right to me, because I needed it to be an artist name that still feels like me. Even if it's an artist name, like the artist will always be me as a person.
Yeah.
So yeah, that just instantly clicked. And also like a ladybug, it's cute, but I find bugs a little bit fascinating because a lot of people find them creepy.
Yeah.
So I was like, perfect.
Well, at least you chose like a cute, pretty bug and not like a cockroach or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really sweet. So why is Ladybug in NGP this year? What made all the stars align for you to take on this massive, challenge?
Yeah, I've been trying to get in on MGP for a few years now, to be honest. So I've been sending in multiple songs every year the last 3-4 years, okay. I think, 4 maybe. And then actually this song I sent in together with other songs in 2023, but I sent it in very late in the process of finding the artist for 24. Right. And so I had a good feeling. I had been talking a lot with NRK and MGP. And so I thought that it would maybe get in. And then they announced on their social media platforms that thank you so much to all the artists who has sent us their songs, but we have now found our artists. So I was like, dang it, not this time either. But then it just takes a couple of days, and the head of casting person from MGP, he calls me up and he was like, yeah, so I have bad news for you, Iris. As you probably understand, you're not going to be in MGP 2024. I was like, yeah, I understood that. And he was like, but I have some good news for you. And that is that I'm wondering if you want to do MGP 2025. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And he explained to me that the only reason why it didn't go in 24 was because I had sent it in so late and they had already picked so many of the artists, and it didn't like fit, because they want to have the country song, they want to have the ballad, and then they want the dark. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been just sitting around tripping for this year to go past really quickly.
Yeah, because like we've spoken with some of the other artists, and they've known some of them since September. And like we've asked them, like, how difficult has it been for like a few months having to like be quiet and keep the secret? So you've known for a year and you've had to not tell anybody.
Yeah, I've known since October 2023.
2 years. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, or like 1 year and four months or something. Yeah. Yeah. So I basically got to know my participation for 25 right after they picked for 24.
Right. So that was Stieg that you had the conversation with, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think most Eurofans will know Stieg. And of course, this is his last NGP. So yeah. Very, very interesting that you got in, I guess, under the wire before things might change next year.
Yeah. You have no idea what's going to be like this. Style, I guess you could say, next year.
It could change completely. Yeah. I also, because I was going to ask you that actually, because I'd read that you found out a year ago. I didn't know if that was true, so you already answered that for me. But I also read in the little online that I could find out about you, I read somewhere that you actually tended bar at the Oslo Spektrum, and now, of course, the NGP final is there in a week from today. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
what a full circle moment. So
yeah, it's pretty insane. Like I have so many jobs. The thing with me and jobs. As I said, I've always been very restless as a person, not knowing what I want to do. But with music, it's been completely different. So now everything I do and everything I have been doing for the last 7 years has been dedicated to music, which means that I don't have a steady job today. I've never really had. So I have like, I work in two different hospitals with people that has severe dementia. And then I also have three different jobs where I'm like a waitress and a bartender. And so one of those jobs is that sometimes I am, working, yeah, in the bar in Oslo Spektrum.
And they're gonna, are they going to let you off Saturday so you can do your thing on
stage? I'm going to have to call the bus later. But yeah.
Ask for a night off.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. No. So yeah, so let's talk about the song. So how did that come together? I noticed that you've got Anders Reithoff on the writing team, who of course is like huge in the Eurovision world and for Melodifestivalen in Sweden. I think he's got the third most number of songs qualified in Sweden to the final over there. So how did all this come together? How did you get him on the team? And yeah, basically how did the song come together?
Yeah, as you said, Anders Brestov is there, such an amazing person, and I love his energy.
Yeah.
So it's me, him, Jonas Jensen, and Thomas Stengård, who wrote this song together. And it was actually in a camp, like a songwriting camp, where we got asked by MGP if we wanted to attend the camp. And the process was a bit strange that day because we were four artists and we were staying there for 3 days, and they had set up so that all the artists were going to do at one day where they had two sessions going on at the same time. And of course, I was a little bit unlucky here because I was the artist that was put to do two sessions for the last day. And for people who have been to songwriting camps before, they know that normally the last day is also the shortest day. Yeah. So that was intense. So I started off running in between two different studios with two different producers and two sets of songwriters. And in one room, something insane and magical was about to happen. And in the other room, not much was going on. And so I was like, okay, now I just have to prioritize. I know that I'm supposed to write two songs today, but I just don't know if that's going to happen. And if I try to make that happen, maybe it's going to be on the cost of both the songs. So I told one of the teams that, you know what, I'm going to have to leave this room now for the rest of the day and just put my full focus in the other room because I don't know, there's something there. And so I did. And we wrote a song together, the four of us. And as I said, this was the shortest day of the camp. We had a deadline. There was people coming in and out of the studio yabbing about like, okay, you're over deadline now, you have to deliver. And we're going to do the listening session, time's up. And we were like, yeah, just 10 more minutes. Yeah. And I remember Jonas, which was producing, then he was trying to make at least like a rough mix of the song and do the last details. And he was sweating, so badly, while me, Anders, and Thomas, we were just like dancing around in the room. And it was the best energy ever. Caught on camera. I'm going to publish that on my social media one of these days soon. Yeah. It was a vibe, let's just say.
Okay. Now it's really cool because a lot of artists now, when we ask the question, they're saying that they're coming from songwriting camps. It's becoming more and more common. It seems like every year there's more and more of them. And the focus is Eurovision. Mm. So it's really interesting. So in the midst of all this, is there a message behind the song, or is it just like a pop banger for the sake of being a pop banger?
Just a pop banger. No, okay. I'm just kidding. No, there really is a meaning behind it. So the title is Hottest Hell in Paradise, as you know, which is very feisty title. But actually, if you, I've released on YouTube now an acoustic version, and I hear a lot of comments after people hear that version, and they will also put the titles, the lyrics, sorry. Yeah. And now people understand the meaning behind the song. So it starts with saint or sinner, I don't really want to know. All I care about is you, right? This song is about finding that one special person where you instantly feel like, wow, this is my soulmate. But then there's a lot of people that has, what's the English word for it? Like they have a lot of bad feelings about this person, and they try to like turn your head into thinking bad thoughts about this person. But then instead of just jumping on the train, as we say in Norwegian, like the thought train of other people, you take a step back and you decide that, you know what, I am going to get to know this person myself so that I can make up my own mind about this person, because I think this person is beautiful. And I think it could be hard to sell in paradise.
Well, that's really good. So yeah, because you can either get lost in the bop element of it, or you can take it more literally and get lost in the lyrics. That's really cool. Mm. The other big thing, of course, besides the song, is the staging. We're a week out. I'm sure preparations in the Spectrum are getting finalized now. Have you been in yet? Have you seen the stage? Have rehearsals started?
We've done a few rehearsals at NRK, but actually Spectrum we're going to on Thursday.
Okay.
So we're going to be in Spectrum Thursday, Friday, and obviously Saturday.
Right. So have you finalized what you want to do, or are you still kind of tweaking with some of the elements that you want to do on stage?
I mean, we're still doing like, I mean, we haven't actually started, for me at least, to be like, okay, now you're going to look in that camera and this camera, blah, 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 those kind of details. And also for me, the very last thing that is going to happen, we're still tweaking, and that is because of a technical thing that we have to try in Spectrum. It hasn't been possible to try it in NRK.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh. No, like I'm picturing, like the song seems to lend itself to like a lot of pyro and fire and dancing. And you mentioned earlier that you're a dancer, you danced in the past. So lots of energy, lots of, yeah, big explosions maybe.
We'll see.
So regardless of what happens on Saturday going forward, do you have any upcoming plans or gigs or more music coming out that we should keep an eye on?
Yeah, I am actually really, I mean, I hope that I get to Eurovision, and that is like, that would be my goal and my dream. As I said, I am not a very famous artist in Norway either. I'm working my way up there. So that would definitely be an extreme boost.
To well, get this to sounds represent. Like it's going to be quite the introduction to Norway.
that is what I want to. So I'm going to have to like put my plans after that, depending if I'm going to Eurovision or not. But I have written so much music. You have no idea. And like in the entire 2023 and 2024, I've been writing so much music that I am going to start releasing a lot of it. I often get asked like, what is my sound as an artist, and I would say that How to Sell in Paradise is very representative of that. That's been very important to me, that I'm, if I'm going to do MGP, if I'm going to do Eurovision, it still has to be me as an artist. And yeah, the music that is going to be released is also very in tune with that song. And I've been considering going to like my Spotify and my platforms and taking down the what 4 or 5 songs that I released until now. But then again, I find it kind of like beautiful to leave those there, because it's my journey to finding my genre as an artist. So I think they get to stay. And I love those songs as well. It's just, yeah, more the journey than what Ladybug Project is, which is what you're going to hear now
Right. And that always changes, right? And people like the old ones, so if they disappear, they might get upset. So, yeah. Always a good idea to leave them. And it sounds like maybe an LP could be coming with all these all this music just you've got waiting to be released.
Yeah. For sure. It's I think it's time to start letting some of those songs out. I really really love many of those, so I'm excited.
Okay, so we have to follow that. And you mentioned earlier as well that you've been trying for a few years to get into MGP. So that must mean that you're a Eurovision fan yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you have any memories of the contest growing up or any favorite songs that you've kind of been a fan of over the years?
I feel like on this question, when I get it, I am the most basic B. But it's my honest answer. I absolutely love Loreen. She's so cool. And like one thing is the songs, obviously Euphoria and Tattoo is amazing songs, but it's also like her as an artist that I am so like appeal to. She's dark, theatrical, and it's just very artsy, which I love.
Yeah, and this whole like she doesn't give a crap about anything. Like she's gonna do her thing, and everybody just follows her, loves her. Yeah. It's the perfect answer. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's the classic one. It's what everyone's. But usually people have to because they say Loreen, of course. But then they have another one, right? Because they always have to have a backup because everybody says Loreen.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
So she is the more obvious one. But I gotta say, Finland with their cha cha cha, that's more like on my crazy side of my brain.
Yeah.
Because my brain is very like artsy, theatrical, dramatic, but then like also a little bit of a screw loose, as we say in Norwegian. And that's where I feel like, cha 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 is a good one. It's fun.
Kari is a good one. And I mean, you've got such an incredible lineup this year. I mean, Bobby Sox are going to be there. Mm-hmm. Like you've got all like the last 40, 50 years of Norwegian music, like on one stage and you're going to be part of it on Saturday.
It's insane. Yeah. Before meeting up at NRK, the first time when all the artists were going to meet each other, and when we were still 10 artists, I figured out 9 out of 10, showed up to NRK, and then the 10th last contribution that was going to join was Bobby Sox. Blown away. Wow. I was like, am I doing MGP with Bobby Sox? Are you kidding me? That's so cool. And I'm just like, what an honor.
Yeah, after years of Norway doing so poorly, out of nowhere, they show up on stage and get Norway's first win and bring the contest to bat again. And everything's been different ever since.
Oh, so, I got goosebumps just by thinking about it now.
Well, and that could be you. That could be you in a week. Oslo 2026.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, that's what we're going for.
Of course. So thank you again so much for your time. We'll leave the last word to you if you want to have a final message or if you want to say something that you wanted to say but you didn't get a chance to, or maybe say something to our Norwegian listeners in Norwegian to kind of encourage them to maybe vote on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'll leave the like final word to you.
Because I'm going to start in English. I'm getting a lot of messages and I just want to say thank you to everyone who supports me and sends me messages. And I hope you love Hottest Hell in Paradise as much as I do. And also go check out their acoustic version if you feel like to maybe get more of that meaning behind the song to it. Or just blast the original one and jump on the floor. If there is anyone who is considering sending me a message on Instagram or any platform, please do so, because I really want to hear from you. Og til dere norske, dere må huske å stemme på lørdag. Ikke glem det, for jeg vet at det er mange som tenker liksom, jeg skal få med meg MGP, men så blir det kanskje glemt, så sett en alarm på telefonen din, så at du får med deg årets MGP, for det blir et kjempekult show. Og that was that.
Yeah.
Wishing everybody a beautiful day.
Yeah. Stem polordag. Lykketil. Have the best performance. We can't wait to see it on Saturday. And best of luck.
Thank you so much. It was so nice talking to you.
You as well.
Wow, what a delight. Thank you so much once again to Ladybug and, of course, to Dave for doing the job.
Well, more so to her because, like we said, like this just happened. So this isn't one of those interviews we've been holding on to for a while. We literally just recorded this. She's got a week until she's got to be on stage. They don't get onto the stage to practice and rehearse until Thursday. That's not a whole lot of time. And when you're a new artist like she is, I mean, I didn't want to say it to her, but I mean, she must be feeling, I don't know, a bit of anxiety or a bit of stress. Like that's a huge stage to really come out on for the first time.
Yeah, but also this year there's no clear favorite in Norway. So I would say, you know, that makes it a lot more open and maybe even more exciting. You know, you could be the winner. You don't have like an Alessandra or like an Alexander Rybak who is clearly winning this. So I think Norway is going to be very exciting, the voting. I think almost anyone could do it. So maybe it is Ladybug for Basel.
Maybe. Maybe Bobby Socks. Maybe.
We will see. So yep. If you want to keep posted with all Eurovision news, then check out our website, buildingbridgespod.com. And you can also follow us on our socials where we are at Building Bridges Pod pretty much everywhere. And tune in next time again. Bye-bye.